The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam. First Canto, Chapter Number 12, Text Number 22. Given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Dasathikari. Recorded on June 12, 2011, in Lanesha, South Africa.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Mrigendra Eva Vikranta Nishevya Himavan Eva Tetikshu Vasudha Eva Aso Sahishnu Pitaro Eva Mrigendra Eva Vikranto Mrigendra Eva Vikranto Nishevyo Himavan Eva Nishevyo Himavan Eva Titikshur Vasudevasau Titikshur Vasudevasau Sahishnu Pitaraviva Sahishnu Pitaraviva Mrigendra
The lion.
Eva. Like. Vikranta. Powerful. Nisavya.
Worthy of taking shelter.
Himavan. The Himalaya Mountains.
Eva.
Like. Titikshu.
Forbearance.
Vasudha Eva. Like the earth. Also, the child. Sahishnu. Tolerant. Pitaro. Parents.
Eva.
Like. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. This child will be as strong as a lion and as worthy a shelter of the Himalaya mountains. He will be forbearing like the earth and as tolerant as his parents. Purport. One is compared to the lion when one is very strong in chasing an enemy. One should be a lamb at home and a lion in the chase. The lion never fails in the chase of an animal. Similarly, the head of the state should never fail in chasing an enemy. The Himalaya Mountains are famous for all richness. There are innumerable caves to live in, numberless trees of good fruits to eat, good springs to drink water from, and profuse drugs and minerals to cure diseases. Any man who is not materially prosperous can take shelter of these great mountains and he will be provided with everything required. Both the materialist and the spiritualist can take advantage of the great shelter of the Himalayas. On the surface of the earth there are so many disturbances caused by the inhabitants. In the modern age the people have begun to detonate atomic weapons on the surface of the earth, and still the earth is forbearing to the inhabitants like a mother who excuses a little child. Parents are always tolerant to children for all sorts of mischievous acts. An ideal king may be possessed of all these good qualities, and the child Parikshit is foretold to have all these qualities in perfection. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jatha Parakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raguna Tanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitamscha. So, where are such leaders as Parikshit now? The earth is crying, being misruled by demoniac leaders. So many problems, you see. There are so many problems of living peacefully because the government leaders are not Krishna conscious. It's like we have just come from Mauritius. It's a Hindu majority. But they are keeping a slaughterhouse for the chickens, you see. And now they're having drought. We couldn't even flush our toilet. There was no water. You see? Finally someone came with a tanker truck and they gave us some water so we could function. This is the top, suppose they say, welcome to paradise, you see, when you arrive at the airport. But where is the paradise? And you can't even get water, you see. This is all due to demoniac leadership, you see, demoniac leadership. Everywhere. These demons, they simply want to squeeze as much as they can out of the people for their own sense enjoyment. And so, they don't care about the people. They just care about serving their own senses, you see. Indriya seva. As long as one is in the mood of Indriya Seva, serving the material senses, what does Bhagavad Gita say? Dushparena nalena cha. The senses are never satisfied and they burn like fire. So anybody who is an Indriya Sevi, a servant of their senses, Indriya Das, you see. They can never be happy. I don't care how much money they get. I don't care how much power they get. I don't care how famous they get. Even if they go all the way to the position of Brahmaji, they'll never be happy. Abrahma bhuvana loka punaravartina arjuna mamupechira konteya punarjanmana vidyate. From the highest planet in this material world down to the very lowest planet, every single place throughout this vast material existence, it's simply a place of misery. So when the leaders themselves are miserable because they don't know how to engage themselves properly in serving the Lord of the senses, Rishikesha, when the leaders themselves are miserable, what can we expect out of the people? Yad yadartarati shreshta tatarevya tarojana. Whatever the great man does, the common people follow. So if the leaders are rascals and fools, then the people will be rascals and fools. Therefore, what is Prabhupada? How does Prabhupada describe the modern day society? Fool's paradise. Simply fool's paradise. All the fools get together and they elect some big fool. We were a PhD. Dr. Stephen Hawking. You're a PhD. You say that everything comes out of nothing. Oh, we applaud you. You say that religion is simply some fairy tale for little stupid children. Oh, we applaud you, you see. This person is celebrated as the biggest brain on the planet Earth. He can go anywhere and have an audience with Obama or anybody. He's considered the greatest intellectual on the planet. And he says everything came out of absolutely nothing. This universe came out of nothing, you see. Therefore I say fool's paradise. Simply rascals. What will they create? with this atheistic philosophy, this world will simply become more and more hellish. That's all. More and more of a, as a dungeon for the demons. That's all. Would you like to live in a dungeon full of demons? Well, that's where you're living right now. In a dungeon full of demons. We try to imagine it's a very nice place because we can't tolerate the idea of living in hell. But actually, the fact is, it's a dungeon of demons. We're so desensitized, we don't realize actually how horrible it is. It's like I can go to the grocery store to pick up some vegetables. And you walk by the meat department, you don't even think about it. Well, you've got my vegetables, I'm going to check up. But there, your own mother has been murdered, and they're selling her bodily parts with the blood dripping. I mean, how horrible it is. That's where we're living, in a society that kills our mother. We were at the grocery store one time, I couldn't believe it. Someone had a huge chunk of beef, and the blood was dripping out on the floor. And they were in the checkout stand, the blood was just dripping on the floor, blood. And so they came and mopped it up. What kind of society is this? You see? Because the leaders are not proper. We don't have leaders of the caliber of Parikshit Maharaj. And for everyone, the whole place is suffering. I'm traveling all over the world. You see, all over the world, I'm going to so many countries, everywhere. Whether it's an undeveloped country, a developed country, it doesn't matter. Everywhere is a hellish nightmare. Why? Because there's no leaders like Parikshit Maharaj. If we're going to get leaders of the caliber of Parikshit, then we must have the qualified Brahmins also to guide them, you see, the Vaishnava Brahmin. And now what is it, the so-called Brahmins, you see, two-paised Brahmins, they put some thread and they think, I am Brahmin, you see. The whole culture has become destroyed by the influence of Kali. But we are so fortunate that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Krishna, the source of all existence, that supreme, all-powerful, all-beautiful, all-renounced, all-knowledgeable, all-wealthy, all-famous personality has agreed to appear in this age of Kali to bless us with this wonderful process. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. If we can simply take this Hare Nam, simply take this Hare Nam, Golokera Prema Dana Hare Nama Sankirtana, this wonderful Hare Nam, it is a gift from Golok. It is the most wonderful gift coming all the way from Goloka Vrindavan. If we can take this wonderful gift of Harinam, take it deep into our heart, you see, relish the holy name, learn how to deeply, deeply relish it, you see. So many devotees, they say, you know, my rounds are so inattentive, you know, what can I do to solve this problem? My japa is very bad japa. All my mind is going here and there and everywhere. But if we can simply remember this wonderful instruction of Rupa Goswami, if you can remember this instruction from Rupa Goswami, your mind will never wander ever again. A very nice instruction. Tunte tandavani vriting vitanute tundavali lamdiye karna karoda kadambani gatayate kunavye braspriham cheta prangana sangani vijayaten sarvandriyanam kritim no jane janita kriyamiramita krishneti varnadvai. Does anybody know the translation? No? All right, I'll give you the translation. Rupa Goswami says, I do not know how much nectar these two syllables, Krish na have produced? I do not know. Because when I utter Krishna, it's not simply saying Krishna, but Krishna himself is dancing in my mouth. And when Krishna is dancing in my mouth, there's so much nectar that what my one little mouth can grab, I need to have millions of mouths to get, at least to get a little bit more of that nectar. Let me see. And then when those two syllables, Krishna, enter the holes of my ears, oh, there's so much nectar that what my two little ears can capture, give me millions and billions and trillions of years, my Lord, so that I can begin to at least get a little tiny insignificant fraction of that unlimited ocean of nectar which is there in those syllables, Krishna. And when that sweet transcendental name, Nama Prabhu, dances in the courtyard of my heart, my mind is completely conquered and I'm stunned in wonder. If you can remember this verse, every time you chant your rounds, your mind's not going to wander, I guarantee you. Remember this verse when you're chanting your rounds and your mind's not going to wander anymore. It won't, if you remember this verse, you'll never have any problem with a wandering mind ever again. You're saying, how could I be such a fool to think about anything else except Krishna, Krishna? You see? How could I be such a fool to let my mind wander away from Krishna for even one lava, 1/11th of a second? You see? Actually, Prabhupada told George Harrison he should make a popular song out of that mantra. I don't think he did that. But that someday, hopefully, some songwriter will come along and make a popular song out of that, since George didn't take advantage of that instruction. Of course, he took advantage of many other instructions, but he didn't. So far as I know, I haven't heard that George wrote any song based on that mantra. So, we need to have a class of men and women on this planet who actually take shelter of Krishna's name, who really do it, who really take shelter of Krishna's name, is their only business in mind. My only business is to completely absorb myself in Namruchi and Nam Seva. Actually, you cannot separate Nam Ruchi and Nam Seva. Because without Seva, there's no Ruchi. If you just want to take, you don't want to give, you can't take anything. Because you only can take insofar as you give. Krishna confirms that. Ye yatamang prapadyante, pangstataiva bhajamyaham. Inasmuch as they surrender to me, I reward them accordingly. So you want to taste the nectar? Then you have to serve. Don't try to be an enjoyer. If you do, you're going to fall flat on your face. Not offering obeisances is not in that sense. You're going to make a fool out of yourself. You see? If you want to really taste the nectar, you're only going to taste it by being a servant. Because that's who you are. Jivarasavarapahai Krishnara Nityadash. You are the eternal servant of Krishna. Why are you trying to be the enjoyer? It's idiocy to try to be the enjoyer. And that's our position, you see. We're so stupid. Even after learning the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, we're still trying to be the enjoyer. In different ways. Sometimes subtle, sometimes gross. Sometimes devotees fall down, gross fall down to him. I just got one report, some temple president, and gross fall down, you see. Because he didn't give up the enjoying mood. You see? Didn't give up the enjoying mood. We have to kick out that stupid enjoying spirit because all it does is it disallows us to actually to enjoy. If you try to enjoy, you can't enjoy. But if you try to give pleasure to Krishna, then you enjoy unlimitedly. So don't you try to be the center of enjoyment. You see that Krishna is being pleased. You see that your spiritual master is being pleased. You see that the Vaishnavas are being pleased by your activities. The more you become selfless, the more you relish the nectar. And it doesn't mean the selflessness, so-called selflessness of the Mayavadis, you see, that I don't really exist. I'm false. Or the voidists, you see. The individual self is false. That is not selflessness. That is the ultimate selfishness, because they want to elevate themselves to the position of God. You can't become selfless by becoming an impersonalist or a voidist. No. All you're doing is trying to elevate yourself to being God when you do that. When you become selfless, you must follow Vaishnava Marg, Bhakti Marg. You see? You become the servant of the servant, the servant of the servant. Gopi Vatu Padakama Yor Dasa Dasa Dasa. The more you become the servant of the servant of the servant, then you actually become who you really are. We are the servant of the servant. It's not some artificial position. Krishna Ganya's movement is not imposing something artificial upon you. It is freeing you from all the artificialities that have been imposed upon you. Do you understand? This is to remove all those artificialities that you've been conditioned with for millions and millions of lifetimes by the material energy. It's to free you from all of that crud. You understand? To release you from this disease of thinking that you're the center. That's what it's about. And this is a cure. This is therapy. We are diseased persons. We require intense treatment to become healthy. That treatment is the Bhakti Yoga system, beginning with Shraddha. Adau Shraddha Tata Sangu Tada Sada, what is it? Adau Shraddha Tata Sadhu Sangha Ta Bhajana Kriya. Tatar Narto Nivritti Syat Tato Nishta Ruchistataha. In this way, Rupa Goswami described this process. The first thing is you have faith. Faith must be there. Actually, everybody has faith. Don't you have faith when you get on an elevator that it's not the cable is not going to snap? Everyone has faith. But you must learn how to put faith in that which is the ultimate, the most sublime faith. That is to put faith in God, the very source of our existence. You must put your faith that God is not so cruel that He would leave us in this suffering condition. If I'm suffering, then God must be a loving, kind God, and there must be some way for me to get out of this suffering. You see, that is faith. So let me find that way, you see. I have faith that God is not some cruel tyrant who just wants to punish me. He loves me, you see. He wants me to be happy. I have that faith, you see. So then you seek out persons who know God, you see. Those are the devotees, you see. Anyone who has that faith, then they will be very interested to associate with the pure devotees, those people who are purely serving God, you see, without any ulterior motives. And then in the association of the pure devotees, what is the next step? Bhajana Kriya. That means that you become initiated by the bona fide spiritual master, and you execute the principles of sadhana bhakti under the orders of your Guru Maharaj. That is the next step given by Rupa Goswami. There's faith, it's association, and next, initiation. That's the third step. Then after initiation, anartha nivritti, you become free from all those unwanted habits that have tortured you for millions and billions of lifetimes. You become free of those unwanted habits. And then you become fixed up. Nishta. Become a fixed up devotee, you see. Solidly fixed. Then once you're solidly fixed, Druchi becomes oh so sweet. We just, like every day, you're just loving it. When you wake up in the morning, you're just loving it. Wow! Another day to chant Hare Krishna. Another day to chant Japa Ma. Another day to do service. Another day to offer my obeisances. Another day to offer an arti. Another day to distribute books. Another day to do Harinam. Another day to wash the dishes for Krishna. Another day to clean the toilet for Krishna. You see? Wow! That's called Ruchi, where you're just going wild 24 hours a day. Wow, this is so great. I love this so much. That's Ruchi stage, you see. And then you just become absolutely, totally addicted, and you see, there's no thought of ever giving it up. That's the Asakti stage. And then you move into bhava, where you have ecstatic emotions, like a volcanic eruptions within the heart of ecstasy. Can't even describe it. All you have to do is experience it, you see. And then finally, you come to prema, where you're having constant, uninterrupted, loving exchange directly with Krishna Himself 24 hours a day. In the stage of prema, you're directly associating with Krishna. We get some hint. Prabhupada gave me a hint of that stage. He wrote me one letter one time. When I was a new devotee, I had so many questions. Well, is this really the right thing? I had doubts. Well, they say, is this really what Prabhupada wanted? You know, I had these doubts. They would say, well, this is the way you're supposed to do it, or this and that, and this is the end. I was wondering, what does Prabhupada say? I want to know what Prabhupada, because sometimes different devotees have different opinions. Well, you know, how many chickpeas are bona fide at breakfast? There used to be a thing that if you had more than 7 chickpeas, you'd fall down. I mean, you know, there was different things that used to go around ISKCON in the old days, you know. So many things. And you wonder, well, what's going on here, you know? Is this, what's bona fide and what's not, you know? So many things you'd hear in the Brahmacharya Ashram, you know. What's really bona fide, you know? What's Prabhupada really saying? Sometimes I just want to know, you know. I want to write Prabhupada and find out for sure, you know. Can you drink water? There was some debate, you can drink water in the kitchen or you can't drink water in the kitchen, you know. Different things like that. What's really the proper thing? So I was advised, like my Vishnujana Swami, my leader, told me I could write Prabhupada. So I started writing Prabhupada, and I got some really nice guidance from him in the mail. But then they made a policy, because the movement was getting really big, and Prabhupada wanted more time to write his books instead of spending all of his time answering letters. At that point, every devotee in the movement could write Prabhupada if he had a question. And the movement was getting pretty big, and he didn't have time to do his books anymore because he was spending all the time answering the letters. I mean, you know, and along with other things. So there was a new policy that only temple presidents, sannyasis, and GBC should write. And everybody else would just ask you, you know, the sannyasis, temple presidents, GBC. But I was addicted to writing Prabhupada, and I didn't know how I could stop. I mean, I wanted that direct contact, so I took a chance and I wrote Prabhupada. I really took a chance of getting in big trouble with the GBC or whatever. I wrote Prabhupada in spite of the policy. I didn't put my name on the return address because they saw who it was from. They might not give it to Prabhupada. I didn't put my name on the return address. Thinking, well, maybe they'll get through. If they see my name, they probably wouldn't. So it's just some brahmachari. They probably wouldn't give it to him. So I didn't put my name on the return address. But Prabhupada was very kind. He actually told me, he advised me to ask the temple president, GBC, etc. He said, but then he gave me a concession. He said, but if there's any urgent need, I'm always happy to hear from my beloved disciples. So I had my loophole directly from Prabhupada. Even though there was a policy, don't write letters to Prabhupada if you're rank and file. Only the leaders get to do that. I had Prabhupada's special personal permission. And if I had any urgent need, Prabhupada was always happy to hear from me, you see. But in that very same letter, he gave me a hint of how to get my questions answered. And that's the real point. Why I brought this up. He said that if you will simply serve Krishna with full sincerity of attitude, 24 hours a day, then he will personally come to you and answer all of your questions. You see, I was giving the example of prema, how you have that direct contact with Krishna. You right there with Krishna, you see. It's like you're talking with some close associate, directly talking, reciprocating. A pure devotee, when it comes to prema, he can directly do them. And Prabhupada is telling me, now you do that. You be fully engaged with full sincerity 24 hours a day, and then Krishna will come to you and answer all your questions. So this is a wonderful process. If you take it as it is, as it's coming down from the acharyas, don't try to concoct your own new version of bhakti. We see many people now, many splinter groups, many splinter devotees who are like splintering off, wanting to make their own philosophies. Just read Prabhupada's books cover to cover. I see some devotees are more attracted to reading what the splinter groups have to say than they are to reading Prabhupada's book. I mean, how stupid is that? They're more interested in what the splinter people who have splintered off have to say than they are in reading Prabhupada's book. That's foolish, very foolish thing. Focus on studying Prabhupada's books and understanding everything that's in Srila Prabhupada's books. You see. Actually, Prabhupada ordered us. He said, all of my disciples have to read all of my books or they'll fall down and say, well, I'm glad I'm not a disciple. I don't have to do that then. No, that means grand disciples also. You didn't get off the hook because you're not a disciple. When Prabhupada says disciples, that means disciples, grand disciples, great, all ISKCON devotees are Prabhupada's disciples. Either disciple, grand disciple, like that. We're all disciples of Prabhupada on different levels. And so, we're either disciples, just like we're all the sons of the Father. I'm also a son of my grandfather. I'm a grandson. I'm still son, but I'm grandson. And my great-grandfather, I'm a great-grandson. So when Prabhupada says, all of my disciples must read all of my books, that includes you too. You're included. You must read all of Prabhupada's books. That's his order. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita purport, you can read that instruction. All of my disciples must read all of my books or they will fall down. So read all the books. That way when these bogus philosophies, these sahaja philosophies, siddha pranali, all this kind of garbage, if you hear it, you can immediately understand and see what it is. Not be fooled by it. So anyway, we have a few minutes left for questions. Anybody have any questions? We normally end at 8:30. 8:30, okay. Are there any questions? I'm halfway deaf, so. I'll try, but you may have to come up and tell me in my ear. We'll try it, though.
You're talking about Krishna may reciprocate with you by giving you, intelligence. Even in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna mentions. How is that mechanism? How does it work?
Well, one time, one of my godbrothers, so the Medhi was there, he was saying, Prabhupada understands because Krishna gives him the intelligence. No. Prabhupada corrected him. No, Krishna directly speaks. He wanted to say that means that Krishna gives Prabhupada the intelligence to understand something. Prabhupada said, no, Krishna directly speaks. This was in New York City. It was an interview. And they were asking Prabhupada about the media, And one of the GBC sannyasis, he was saying like that, and Prabhupada corrected him. So for a completely pure devotee, Krishna directly speaks. And we see that so many times, just like Shashi Gopal, past time. He came asking the deity to become witness for the wedding promise, the marriage promise that was made in front of him. And Krishna, the deity, spoke with him. He actually spoke with him. Not that everybody in the room could hear, but that devotee, that brahmana, he could actually hear Krishna talking to him. Krishna said, my dear Lord, you please come with me to bear witness this promise was made in your presence. He said, what can I do? I'm a stone statue. I can't move. Krishna directly spoke. He heard him talking. And that brahmana is very intelligent. He said, well, my dear Lord, if you can talk with me, you can walk with me also. Prabhupada said, and he defeated Krishna by logic. So Krishna agreed, all right, now I'm defeated by you, I will come. I will come all the way back to your village and bear witness that yes, this promise was made in my presence that this girl should be offered to you in marriage. But you will know that I am behind you walking because you will hear the sound of my ankle bells. But if you turn around, I won't walk any further. So he walked for many days and weeks across India, you see, always hearing that ankle bell. And he was very careful not to turn around. But then Ravi got to the edge of the village. Don't hear it. Oh no, I don't hear it. What's going on? And there was a deity. He the last, just right outside the village, he forgot. He became so much in anxiety that the ringing stopped. And he turned around and the deity wouldn't come any further. So Krishna can talk to you. He can also walk with you. He can come right off the altar and walk with you. Of course, Krishna also gives intelligence. We just read the other day in the Bhagavatam, the conscience, your sense of right and wrong, that's the super soul speaking to you. So yes, on different levels. You see, I really know that I shouldn't do that. Your conscience is telling you that's the super soul. So yes, at that level you can also be instructed by Krishna. Your conscience speaks to you. That's Krishna. When you just know you shouldn't do something, you see, your conscience. There's an old saying, let your conscience be your guide. That's Krishna, the Paramatma, speaking to you. But, so that on one level, yeah, it works like that. But as you advance more and more, you can actually come to that point where Krishna reveals himself. And you can directly communicate with him. So I'll give this, it's a good reason to chant good rounds, huh, Prabhu? Chant some good rounds, do some nice service, do some nice sincere praying. My dear Lord, please pull me out of this material consciousness and make me your pure devotee. Please, Krishna, I'm begging you, make me a pure devotee. You think Krishna ignores your pleas? Krishna is pleased by your pleas. You see? Krishna has been waiting and watching us for millions of lifetimes. When will this soul finally come to me? You see, we were covered in so many species. As a dog, we were covered, plant, cat, in so many species we've gone through. Now we've come to a form, and here we have taken to this path of Krishna bhakti. Krishna is very, very pleased. And if we can intensify it, that my dear Lord, please bless me now, I can become your pure devotee. Please, Krishna. You see? Prabhupada directly ordered me. In another letter he said, now you just qualify yourself to see Krishna face to face. So on one level we're already seeing. And there is Krishna. We are seeing Krishna face to face. But there's different levels of seeing Krishna face to face. So we would like, oh, higher, higher, higher. But actually Prabhupada said, seeing Krishna, anybody can see Krishna. It's not very significant there. He said, the real thing is you act in such a way that Krishna will see you, how nice you are working for God. That's more important. More important than trying to see God as you act in such a way that God will see how much this devotee is working for God. You see? That's the highest position. Encouraged Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati encouraged that position. You see? That, oh no, I can't see Krishna. I want to see Krishna. No, you do something that he'll want to see you. That is our mood. That is our theme. So how much you are working for God, you see? How much you are dedicated to God, that each of us has to analyze. Our own position. How much am I working for God? How much am I working for my senses? Am I working 1% for God and 99% for my senses? How much am I working for God, you see? That we have to see, each one of us. Any other questions?
Sometimes it's also difficult to understand your own motivation for doing things. Like in the name of service, it seems like you're doing it for service, but it's sometimes for your own false ego or something.
Definitely. I mean, we're definitely contaminated, Prabhu. I mean, we really are, you know. I think, just like Prabhupada wrote, that one devotee, one disciple wrote, Prabhupada, he said, Srila Prabhupada, I'm the most fallen. He thought he was being really humble, right? You know what Prabhupada wrote him back? You're not the most anything. You're simply insignificant. So, you know, it's a fact. Our motives are so mixed up, you know. We have a desire to be recognized as a great devotee, you see. Yeah, I want to be seen as a great preacher, you know, big guru or something like that, you know. It's so easy to get sidetracked. I mean, that's why devotees fall down. I mean, I have god brothers that became, you know, they got sannyas, they became GBC, they became guru. They had thousands of disciples distributing millions of books. And then the next day, they don't even chant the japa anymore. They give it up completely. I wonder, what happened? One god brother, Harikesh, you see? He was so big leader in Europe. All of Europe was under his direction. All of Northern Europe. Millions of books going out, so many devotees, so much money pouring in. He bailed out in North America. We had some huge court case. We didn't have the money to pay for it. Harikesh gave us the money to pay for it. He was so much success in his preaching. And then, boom, he's lost everything. He lost it. Because his motives were not completely pure, you see. So even if you're a big, successful devotee, it doesn't mean you're pure. The external thing, well, I have a big position, I got a big guru, you know, I got so many disciples. Prabhupada mentions, you see, he mentions how gurus can fall down in the nectar of devotion. It's right there. We shouldn't be surprised that some gurus fell down because Prabhupada talks about it in the nectar of devotion. There is such a thing. Right there in the nectar of devotion, Prabhupada mentions it. So I may have a desire to be a big this, a big that. If my desire is for name and fame, I may get that name and fame, but I won't get Krishna. Desire has to be pure that I just want to serve, you see. That has to be the motive. I want to win the book distribution marathon, so I'm celebrated as the biggest, most successful book distributor in the yatra. Wait a minute. Is that completely pure? How about I want to distribute books so these poor souls who are suffering in the cycle of birth and death can get an opportunity to go back to Godhead? That should be the motive, you see. That's pure. Now, I want to be recognized as a great preacher. You see? We have to make the motives pure. We have to be in the mood of service. Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur said that, was it Prabhupada said? Yeah, Prabhupada said. How the spiritual masters sees his disciples as his spiritual masters. Prabhupada told us that in Vrindavan, the famous Nectar Devotion series. So the idea is the more you become servant, that is your actual advancement, not some name, fame, or some big position, some title. You see? Your real advancement is how much you're the servant. That's all. So you want to become an advanced devotee? The more you become the servant, that is how much you become an advanced devotee. So service should be the motive for everything. What can I do to increase my service? I want to become more and more absorbed in devotional service, so I can give more and more pleasure to my spiritual master and more pleasure to Krishna. The desire to please your guru and Krishna, that's purely spiritual desire. When in doubt, just pray. My dear Lord, I want to serve you, but I'm afraid, my Lord, that I have a desire to be recognized also for being an advanced devotee. So please help me to become free of any mixed motives, my Lord. I don't want to have any karma mishra or gana mishra in the bhakti. I just want pure bhakti, my Lord. Please bless me. I can just have pure bhakti. In this way, if you pray. And this mood of chanting your japa also. Japa is the greatest purifier we have. Prabhupada used japa for purifying himself. Of course, that's an example for us. He didn't need to be purified. He was, before he came to America, he had had that order, and he had no idea how he could possibly spread Krishna consciousness to the English-speaking world. He goes to go to a Dvaitacharya's house in Shantipur, where they keep one temple there. He would go there and he would chant. He'd chant japa for hours and hours, and sometimes with tears coming from his eyes, intensely chanting. As a householder, he went there in white. He went there as a sannyasi also, in saffron. And the Vajari made friends with him. He saw, who is this nice devotee who's coming here, chanting japa here, and crying, sitting here for hours, chanting with tears coming to the face, and great, very intensely chanting japa, you see. So he made friends. He said, yes, I'm, you know, Abhay Chadanata Vinda, and my spiritual master gave me this order that I have to spread Krishna consciousness to the English-speaking world. I don't know how I can possibly do this, so I'm just begging for the mercy. Then as a sannyasi, he also came back. And then he didn't see him. He'd been coming again and again and again. And then he didn't see him for many years. And then one day, somebody gave him a magazine about this this society called ISKCON. this temple. And he realized he did it. He did it. And he came to Mayapur to tell us the whole story. You see? The Papa was just, he was crying, begging for the mercy that somehow or other he could carry out this order that his spiritual master had given him. He didn't have any desire for name, fame, prestige. He just wanted to serve the order of his spiritual master. That's all. You see? He was given the order that you spread the Krishna consciousness movement to the English-speaking world. And what order did Prabhupada give us? He told us in Los Angeles. He said, become guru and deliver the entire world. How's that one for an order to do? Okay, now you deliver the entire world. Well, Prabhupada, I mean, that's impossible. How can you supposed to... Did Prabhupada say that to his spiritual master? But Guru Maharaj, this is impossible. You told me to spread Krishna consciousness movement to the English-speaking world, but Guru Maharaj, you don't realize it. Actually, that was Prabhupada's objection. This is impossible. We're under British rule. How you can say this? Prabhupada first did object that it was impossible. He objected to Guru Maharaj's order. He wasn't a disciple yet. He objected to this idea. He said, no, we first must get independence. But Bhakti Siddhanta smashed him to smithereens. He completely smashed him. And he realized, yes, this is my spiritual master. You see, this is my spiritual master. So when Prabhupada tells us, become guru and deliver the whole world, we think, well, Prabhupada, that's impossible. Prabhupada smashes us. We try to argue, Prabhupada, you can't tell us to do that. That's impossible. Prabhupada was smashed. Just like he got smashed by Bhakti Siddhanta, Prabhupada was smashed. Actually, even when he told him to publish 17, the volume, there was 17 volumes? The volume, 17 volumes of the Chaitanya, is it 17 volumes, I forget, of the Chaitanya Charitamrita? He gave them an impossible deadline. And when they objected, they couldn't do it. Prabhupada said, impossible is a word in a fool's dictionary. And they did it. They had a 24-hour-a-day marathon. The artists were working on the canvas 24 hours a day. Some artists would be painting it and they'd fall asleep. The other artists would wake up and they would do it. And they got all the illustrations done. Somebody flew off to India, got the photographs. The Chaitanya Charitamrita was done in an amazing short span of time under Prabhupada's order, you see. So we have to take the order that Prabhupada has given us to make the world Krishna conscious as our life and soul, Prabhu. In that, and for the sake of pleasing Srila Prabhupada and for the sake of saving these poor souls who are drowning in the cycle of birth and death, our motive is to save them and to please our spiritual master. That motive is completely pure. Let me play whatever role I can play in the ISKCON movement to bring about that transformation of the human society. You see, that should be our move. That should be our move. Whatever way I can be of best service to bring about the Krishnaization of planet Earth, let me take that position. Whatever, as a pot washer, a pujari, a manager, whatever it may be, a guru, a preacher, whatever it may be. Whatever position I can take that will give me the best facility to do it the best that I can for making the world Krishna conscious, that is my duty. So that way the motive will be pure. Does that answer your question? Okay, so are there any other questions before we end the class? Everyone satisfied? Completely satisfied? All doubts are now erased? You ready to dive in and dedicate your whole life for making the world Krishna conscious on Prabhupada's order? Are you willing to dive in now and do your job to be fully absorbed in pushing forward the Sankirtan movement? Or are you still holding back for material sense gratification? Kick out this desire for material sense gratification. Only take as much gratification as you need to stay healthy. That you're allowed. Good health, you're allowed. Don't neglect your health. Stay healthy. Whatever, just like in it's cold, you can turn on some heat. You don't have to shiver in the cold. You know. Take whatever you need to stay healthy. Doesn't mean you have to fast. Of course, I'm fasting today. It's Nirjala Kadasi, but you can take prasadam nicely. Keep yourself healthy as much as you need for health, but beyond that, everything should be for Krishna, nothing else. Okay? Everybody's agreed? Yes. All right, now do it. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.